if you have a Bible, if you would turn to the passage that we read just a moment ago in Revelation chapter 2, we're going to look at that text to start our lesson this morning. We appreciate your presence here, and we would encourage you to follow along with each of the scriptures that we look at. It is our aim this morning to teach nothing but the Word of God, and if in any respect you find any of the things that we present to be other than what is taught in the Word of God, we'd count you a friend if you bring that to our attention. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, these are very familiar words, I think, to most of us. Here where the Lord gives some instruction to the church in Smyrna, we are reminded once again of what Ben read to us a moment ago. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Notice this, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. While I think absolutely within the context we misunderstand this to be alluding to the persecution that they may well face, many of them it may be would have to literally be put to death as a result of their faith. But indirectly this teaches that as Christians it is important for us to remain faithful in order for us to be pleasing to God. The idea that is sometimes taught in the world around us that it is not necessary for a Christian to be faithful in order to be acceptable to God is simply not taught in Scripture. Now, we may understand that as Christians, but I think sometimes it may be difficult for us to really get in our mind what faithfulness is. What does it look like? When we look at men and women who are Christians around us, how can we see faithfulness demonstrated in their life? And I'd like for us this morning to look at what we could refer to as characteristics of faithful Christians. And we're going to break this down into about four different areas of our life. The first being regarding their behavior towards God. And I'd like us to notice just a few things together. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul there speaks to Timothy about being a good servant of the Lord. And he describes that a good servant is nourished in the words of faith. I want us to think about that for just a moment, because nourishment is a little bit different than snacking, isn't it? You know, you don't nourish yourself on Oreos. You don't nourish yourself on Twinkies. You nourish yourself on that which sustains you. During the Civil War, from what I understand, the city of Atlanta was a major point of supply for the Confederacy. Many of those things that they required in order for their functioning to continue were centered in Atlanta. Historians looking back at the events of the Civil War say that one of the major events that turned the tide in the Civil War was when, in fact, Sherman was able to march to Atlanta and to take Atlanta and destroy it as a supply line. Now, that should illustrate some things to us. If, in fact, the Word of God is to be something that nourishes us, we must understand that faithful Christians feed upon the Word of God. That doesn't just mean we snack. It doesn't just mean that every now and then, if we're in the mood, it means that it is something that we look to as our lifeline, our supply line. Over in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, there, as it talks about what happened in the early days of the church, we learn about the fact that James, the brother of John, was put to death because of his faith. And shortly after that, the scripture tells us that Peter was in prison. The church, in response to that, we are told in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, offered constant prayer to God. Constant prayer was offered to God. How important it is for us, if we are to be faithful Christians, to be constant in prayer. You know, as an illustration of that, sometimes when we as human beings have those who are our friends, and maybe they've gone through something traumatic, sometimes the very best thing that we can do for them is simply to be there, to listen to them, to offer an ear of concern. Now, I want us to understand, God does a whole lot more than simply listen to what we have to say. But we must recognize that in God, we have one who is always there, ready and willing to listen to those things that we bring to His attention. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'd like us to read together Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren,
by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's an idea that has sometimes been presented in the religious world that every act of human life is worship. I don't really believe that Scripture teaches that. I'm not worshiping God necessarily when I'm mowing my lawn. I'm not worshiping God when I'm fishing. I think sometimes this has been an excuse that people have offered to say, I don't have to assemble with other Christians. I can just worship God wherever I am. Now, while I don't believe that every act of human life is worship to God, I do believe, as we see here, if we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, it's absolutely true that we worship God throughout our life. It's not just something we do when we come to times of assembly. It's not just something that we do on special occasions. The faithful Christian is one who is going to worship his God in heaven on a regular basis. But let's look at a second area that I think we can consider some characteristics of faithful Christians, and that is regarding their behavior toward others. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 26, there, as it describes Paul and Barnabas while they were in the city of Antioch, it tells us that they were committed to their relationship and responsibility to the local church there. The text tells us there in Acts chapter 12 and verse 26 that for a whole year they assembled with the church. You know, think about that with me for a moment. Faithful Christians are not really just free agents. It's not that we just kind of float and never really make a commitment to one local congregation. Now, it may be that we encourage brethren in other congregations from time to time, but at the same time, we must recognize the responsibility, the commitment that we have to those who are part of our number. We might illustrate it this way. You know, when someone who is an orphan finds a home and a loving father and mother decide that they're going to adopt that child, how important is it for that child as he's brought into this new home, particularly if there are other siblings that are already a part of that home? Can he say or she say to themselves, well, I want to be a part of this family. I want to have a father and mother, but I don't want to have anything to do with my siblings. By the same token, we must recognize that faithful Christians will be the sort that assemble regularly with a sound congregation and are committed in their relationship to a local congregation. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we learn the remarkable record that when, in fact, the persecution began after the stoning of Stephen, that persecution that was instigated by the apostle who would become the one who would become the apostle Paul, by Saul of Tarsus, one of the remarkable records in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8 is the fact that these people, rather than deciding to stay silent because of this persecution, the Scripture tells us that they went everywhere preaching the Word. You know, faithful Christians are those who will teach others. And we must understand that we do that in several aspects of our life. We do it in word, when we literally and actually look for opportunities where we can talk to someone about their accountability before God. We can talk to them about obedience to the gospel, but we also do so by our example. When we shine as lights to the world around us, when we live in a different manner than the world around us, we set an example and we are teaching every moment of our day. By the same token that we were talking about a moment ago, it may not be that we worship in every aspect of our life. If I am recognizing my accountability to God, if I am recognizing His grandeur before me, and that influences how I live, it influences whether I'm obedient to Him or not, then I'm demonstrating my worship to Him, I am setting an example to those around me, and I am in a position in which I am teaching those by my example. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 35, Scripture tells us there of the wonderful generosity of the church in Jerusalem. I think it's probably likely affected by the fact that you had some who had come together at Pentecost when they obeyed the gospel. They lingered there for a time. But nonetheless, the Scripture tells us of their great generosity there, that they sold those things that they had. They laid them at the apostles' feet, and the apostles then distributed to each as anyone had need. Faithful Christians will care about those who are in need. And I think we must see that both in spiritual terms and in material terms. Man has physical needs and spiritual needs. We can't be callous to either one. The faithful Christian will care about those in their local congregation that are in need. And as we have opportunity, those that we encounter in the religion, in the world, we care about their needs as well. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'd like for us to notice together a text there that talks to us about another aspect of faithfulness in Christ. Begin with me in verse 6 and let's go down to verse 11. The apostle says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us in God." The faithful Christian is going to be one that gives generously. As we think about the responsibilities we have within a local church, you know, the church couldn't function without the generosity of its members. Those that are supported in other areas, the gospel couldn't be preached in other areas without the generosity of those within a local church that give unselfishly. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, in the context of the Apostle Paul talking about one of those areas in which the giving within the local church may influence some things that are going on, there as he talks about those widows that are qualified that can be brought into the number, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle talks about the fact that that care for widows must first start within their own family. In fact, the text will say, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. Now, if we understand that, it teaches us something very important about a characteristic of being a faithful Christian. Faithful Christians treat their families right. In the context here, it is talking about the way in which faithful Christians will care for and support their family. But can it be that one says, well, you know, I'm giving you a roof over your head, I'm putting clothes on your body, I'm putting food in your mouth, but I'm going to treat you with contempt, I'm going to mistreat you in these other ways? No. A faithful Christian will treat their wife correctly, will treat their husband correctly. A faithful Christian will be good parents, good children, good brothers and sisters. But I want to consider two final areas of our life that I think we can consider a few things related to characteristics of faithful Christians. And the next one is regarding attitudes. The faithful Christian, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about, there as Paul gives instruction to those in Thessalonica, he prays that God will direct their hearts into the love of God. You know, love is not always an easy thing, but we must understand that if we are to be faithful before God, faithful Christians will cultivate a loving disposition. You know, sometimes we encounter people that are just cranky all the time. Sometimes we encounter people that are just hateful and always look at something negative about others. Faithful Christians will not be that way. Faithful Christians will seek to show love for others and try to demonstrate love for others and to have a loving disposition. But in the context there, the apostle also described patience of Christ in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to notice another instruction that Paul gives to Timothy. Here, once again, talking about what servants of the Lord ought to be. Read with me beginning of verse 24 and we'll go down to verse 26. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil,
having been taken captive by him to do his will. In the context here, notice what he says, particularly in verse 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but listen to this, be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. A servant of God, a faithful Christian, will be one who not only cultivates a loving disposition, but cultivates patience and humility. I mentioned that sometimes love is a hard thing. Part of the reason is because we don't always do what we think we ought to do, or someone else doesn't do what we think they ought to do. But we have to be patient with them. But we also have to be humble in our recognition that we may not always know what the best thing is. It may be that our ideas are not always the best ideas, or those which are correct. And if you have lived very long, you come to recognize how many times in your life you've been wrong and you've been mistaken. And so even in efforts in which you're trying to help someone and correct someone, here as a servant of the Lord, trying to bring someone out of error, you do so with humility. A faithful Christian will cultivate patience and humility. But one final area that I'd like for us to consider this morning, and that is some things regarding the lifestyle of a faithful Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul will talk to those in Corinth about the way in which they use their bodies and their spirits. There he teaches that they are to glorify God in your body and spirit. How we use our body, how we focus our spirits, will either be that which glorifies God in our actions, the way we were talking a few moments ago about letting our light shine by our example, or it will be that which brings shame to the name of the Lord and causes the name of the Lord to be spoken against. Faithful Christians will use their abilities to glorify God. You know, all of us have things that God has blessed us with. Whether it is goods that we have, whether it's abilities that we have, whether it's a talent that you have that I don't have, we need to not just think of those in terms of how can these benefit me. We need to think about how can these be used to glorify God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like us to read together beginning in verse 3 and we'll go down to verse 7. The apostle, speaking to the church in Thessalonica, says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." As we think about this, part of what it means to be faithful, part of what it means for the Christian to be faithful, is that Christians are moral. We don't use our bodies for those kinds of things that are wicked. Christians don't engage in sexual immorality. Christians don't engage in drunkenness or the use of other kinds of drugs and intoxicants. Christians don't involve themselves in vulgar language. We're not going to those kinds of activities where Christians ought not to be found. We're not watching those movies that others do. We don't live that way. Christians are to be moral people. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 with me for a moment. Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, I want us to notice a section that probably is familiar to us, at least in part, but I wonder if we think about the ramifications of it every day of our lives. Matthew chapter 5, begin in verse 33, Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." Listen to this. "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." What does this tell us about faithfulness in Christ? The faithful Christian is going to be one that is honest in their behavior.
It's not that we say, yeah, I'll do that, and then we never follow through. It's not that we tell someone one thing and then do something different behind their back. That is not letting our yes be yes and our no, no. One final passage. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like for us to read together beginning in verse 13, and we'll go down to verse 17. The Apostle Peter says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Does this tell us anything about a characteristic of being a faithful Christian? Well, faithful Christians shouldn't speed. Faithful Christians shouldn't violate driving regulations. If in fact we are to obey every ordinance of man, we must understand that faithful Christians are law-abiding. It means we don't cheat on our taxes. It means that we don't just ignore and disregard laws that are passed. We may try to influence the change of those laws. We may try to do those things that we can to influence things in the direction that we would like. But that doesn't mean that we have sanction to violate them unless we're talking about those things which directly are in violation of the Word of God. Characteristics of a faithful Christian. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Have you confessed that faith before men? Have you repented of sin that separates you from God and been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? If not, we urge you to begin that process by which you are a child of God. You are one that belongs to Christ. That's what a Christian is, one that belongs to Christ. If as a child of God, as you think about these characteristics we've looked at just briefly this morning, maybe you think, well, you know, in this area I'm doing all right, but over here, that doesn't characterize who I am. That doesn't sound like the way I live my life. Well, you have brothers and sisters here that love you and are willing to go to God in prayer on your behalf and willing to encourage you in the way that they may need encouragement from time to time. And if we can help you in that way, won't you come? Why don't we stand and sing?